What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast. Back at it again. I'd say it's a beautiful day, but it's just not. Pouring rain outside. Did play golf yesterday in Napa. A little chilly. I 65. So you guys on the East Coast dealing with snow, Midwest, it's cold. It's pouring rain where I am at, so I can bask in the misery with you guys. Good show coming up. Some thoughts on Buccaneers, Brady, football's popularity, some weird stuff going on with that guy named Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Got that situation red flagged. Cowboys, they deserve a little credit on this one. Just some other little stories, just, you know, things that are popping up, players getting released, Urban Meyer makes a new hire, you know, we'll dive into that. Trevor Lawrence is having a pro day, not sure for what. And then, of course, Middlecoff mailbag, at John Middlecoff is the Instagram, slide up into those direct messages, and we answer your questions here on the podcast. Also, Three and Out Podcast, you guys like this show? Subscribe to the Three and Out Podcast feed. Obviously, Colin's got the stuff going on with the volume, a lot of moving parts. When I was pushing this, you know, 6 months ago, for the last 6 months that I was being shady, I'm not. It's all intertwined. This is a team effort. Colin and I, arm in arm, even though he almost went down this week. I called him the other night after I saw his Instagram post. Once Goulet told me, I texted him after the Super Bowl. I'm like, where's Colin? He's like, he's sick. I didn't think that much of it. And then Colin posted that. I was like, God. Called him immediately. He's doing good. Obviously, he had another Instagram today with Justin Herbert. Sent him a signed football. So it's good. But the group effort, subscribe to this podcast. That's what we need you to do. Colin needs you to do. I need you to do. We all need you to do it. Subscribe to the podcast if you like the show. If not, maybe we'll run into each other again. But I want to start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just threw the parade. And I was thinking about their franchise. Because when I think about Tampa Bay, I always think about the yucks. Now, I grew up, Steve Young was my favorite player, and a huge part of his story was what a joke Tampa Bay was, right? He wanted out desperately, they were a disaster, and he ended up with the Niners, he became a Hall of Famer. And I'm a Fresno State guy, so I've followed Dilfer's career really closely. I've listened to him talk for now over, I don't know, it feels like a decade plus about football. And listen, I don't know if he would have been some like all-time elite player, but his career was derailed because he started in Tampa Bay. Place was a joke. And I do think this. The Buccaneers have two Super Bowl titles. I bought this like last year, this little poster. It's kind of, I need to upgrade the poster. And it's kind of looks cheesy actually looking at it. But it says something very, very simple. Because I thought every day when I walk into my office, I want to get my mind going in the right direction. You know, kind of that Tony Robbins manifest, the positive talk. It's fun. You can make fun of that stuff. It does work. And it just says, fortune favors the brave. And luckily, and I talk about this all the time, in my position, I don't have kids to worry about, a wife. I can be really, really aggressive. And, you know, I did own some Tilray stock until the Reddit guys. I owned it before Reddit ever got involved. It's been a hell of a week. Went up a lot, went down a lot. Hell of a roller coaster ride. But just in general, I've tried to patent my life philosophies on being aggressive. The fortune favors the brave. Take big swings. Now, do it. You don't just go up there and hack at pitches way out of the zone, right? You got to wait for a strike. But when the opportunity presents itself, be aggressive. And I think if you look at the history of time, whether it's sports, which we obviously talk about here a lot, and if you're listening, football. If it's business, I think there's a long history of people that have been successful. If it's, you know, what anything else, whether it's dating someone, right? It takes guts to ask someone out. Sometimes you got to have some balls. The Buccaneers, their two Super Bowl titles. One came when they traded two first rounders. I think it was like a second rounder or third rounder. A bunch of money to the Raiders for John Gruden. Now, you can argue, well, John, they were right there. They were right on the cusp. They hadn't won diddly poop before they made that trade. They made that move, immediately won a Super Bowl. And at the time, and still to this day, there are franchises in the NFL that do not have Super Bowls. It took the Eagles how long? 47, 48 years to win a Super Bowl? It is very difficult. The Yucks won a Super Bowl in 2001 because they made that bold trade. And then look at this year. We talked about it earlier in the week. It's easy to say now, of course they signed Tom Brady. the San Francisco 49ers said, we're not interested. He didn't even want to go there. But they were really aggressive. Tampa wanted them. Jason Light talked about it. Bruce Arians talked about it. They put all their chips in the middle table. They gave him $50 million guaranteed. And you could say, John, you're talking about Tom Brady. It's not even that much money relative to what the Patriots paid him every year. That was like a raise. I mean, that was a lot of money. And I think also when you take a step back, it's easy to talk about Brady now. There will never, maybe Rodgers, we'll see. I mean, he's still 5 years away. A 42-year-old man giving them $50 million guaranteed? Again, it's so easy sitting here talking into a mic on February 11th, having watched the parade yesterday, watched the Super Bowl last week, to be like, of course they gave Tom Brady 50. It was not, we were not talking like that a year ago today. We were not at all. We were like, are we sure he's still got anything left? Are we sure that he's not trending down? I think we all learned, anyone that bet against him learned a good lesson, right? Don't bet against TB12. But not only they immediately signed Tom, think of what came with that. Think if I would have told, hey, Kyle Shanahan, here's what you get. Gronkowski immediately just comes with you. It's a package deal. Gronk is there. No one was really thinking that. And then boom, Gronk's a buck. And then think about what happened during the season. They signed Antonio Brown, who, you know, say what you want. Like, he made some big plays for them down the stretch. Scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And listen, I experienced the Antonio Brown fiasco a couple years ago with the Raiders in Napa when he showed up with the burned feet and then they basically cut him. It was a disaster. But clearly Tom Brady believes in that guy for whatever reason. And then Leonard Fournette, like, they were aggressive. Tom Brady played a big role in pushing Jason Light and Bruce Arians to do things that maybe they wouldn't have done. And he changed those guys' life. Now, Antonio Brown's Super Bowl champion. Leonard Fournette all of a sudden looks really good. But you got to give the Buccaneers credit. They got aggressive when not everyone was. And then you just think of recent memory. A year ago, the Chiefs, who won the Super Bowl, they were in it again. Think of why they're there. Andy is a great coach. He has consistently won for 20-plus years. The moment they got aggressive, and I mean really aggressive, they traded from the 20s up to, I think, was he 10th or 12th? I always get it confused if Deshaun or Mahomes went first. One went 10, one went 12. I think it was Mahomes went 10, but whatever. But that was like, damn, I'll never forget watching that draft, thinking, they just drafted who? What? Best thing they ever did. Think about the Rams, who their franchise, let's face it, was kind of a joke ever since the Mike March, that thing fell apart. A joke. Chris Long has openly talked. I heard Howie Long on Ryan Russillo's podcast. He was like listing off, you know, Chris had 50 sacks or whatever in 4 years or 5 years, and no one saw. The franchise, when they were the St. Louis Rams, once the greatest show on turf just kind of dissipated and disappeared, that franchise became a wasteland. They moved to L.A. They hire this, at the time, what is he, 31 years old, 30 years old? And me, who's like a year older than McVay, and I'm pro-millennial, thought it was insane. I was like, you know, I've watched Harbaugh coach. I've been around Coach Reed. I've watched these good coaches. Been around Pat Hiller, who's an older guy. Like, I don't know if a guy that young can do it. Best thing the franchise ever did. That was crazy looking back. That was insane. I think we forget, because he's been so good, he's made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years. What a bold, crazy move that was. It was a home run. I mean, they're easily one of the best teams on paper going into 2021. So if your team, and listen, just because you're willing to take a big swing does not mean you're going to make contact and hit a home run. You may strike out. That's part of the deal. Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn. Well, not often Tony Gwynn, but Barry Bonds. Not often him, too, once he got on the juice. But if you're going to go up there and take a big hack, you got to be okay to miss. But just taking the big hack gives you a chance. Taking that big swing gives you an opportunity to win big in this league. The popularity of the NFL, and I know the Super Bowl was, you know, 96 million people watching it. I mean, we're nitpicking 95 to 105 million people, that range, over the last decade, whatever. Bottom line, a lot of people watch it, right? And football is by far the most popular sport in America. There's nothing really close. And you're listening to a guy who loves all the sports. Like, I watch every Warriors game. I don't watch as many Giants games anymore just because I hate their teams. Just stinks. But I watch a lot of baseball. I like watching the Dodgers, the Padres, the Yankees. I like watching good baseball teams. I consume a lot of golf. Like, I'm a big sports guy. I'm a huge sports guy. And right now in my business, it doesn't really make that much sense to talk about the other sports. The only reason I really talk a little bit about golf is that I'm partners with DraftKings on the other podcast, and it's just like we do stuff with them. But football pays the bills because that's the thing most people talk about, most people care about. And I think a big reason for their popularity, you saw it in the parade. Brady just absolutely wasted. Now, a part of him being that wasted, he doesn't drink for 7 months. So you have, you know, a shot of tequila and a couple White Claws, all of a sudden you can't walk straight. But there is an element to football players that is very relatable, still to this day, is in their business, one, they have to try hard, right, when the games happen. So you never watch a game, and I think you watch baseball, some teams tank, basketball, clearly a lot of teams tank. You always respect, teams may suck in the NFL, or just the sport of football in general. You do feel, for the most part, you get a guy's high, you know, all they have. He just might not be good enough. The other thing is, like, in basketball and baseball, guaranteed contracts. Think how many people, wherever you are listening, if you have a favorite NBA team, you've been stuck several times watching a player that is very overpaid, not very good, and your franchise, you as a fan, would do anything to just cut. Can't happen. Happens all the time in baseball. Like, I like Jeff Samardzija personally. I think he's a good guy, tough guy, terrible baseball player. And the Giants were just stuck with him for years. If he was the equivalent in football, right, you would sign this big $90 million contract. After 2 years, you would have been cut. Because, you know, like most of our jobs, right, most people are at-will employees, right? I would imagine some of you listening have contracts. Like, when I worked in the NFL, I had a contract. And when I worked in radio, I had a contract. But that's pretty unique. Most of my friends, they insurance, whatever, they don't have contracts unless they're maybe like a partner in the firm. And most people my age probably aren't partners yet. You get fired at any moment. You might get 2 weeks or a month notice, but you can just get relieved of your duties, right? If you do not produce. And football has that. If you do not produce, you get cut. It's the cutthroat nature of the beast, which is somewhat relatable to humans. That's the way America works. If you do not produce, you don't keep a job. I guess unless you're middle management in corporate America. We all know those people. The other thing with football, and baseball has this too, it's a beer-drinking league, right? The fans drink beers. The players drink beers. The coaches drink beers. It just feels kind of blue-collar for guys that make millions, coaches included. And you saw it in that parade, just dudes getting wasted. When I was growing up, I played golf at this place close to Sacramento. And the Sacramento Kings trainer was a member there. I actually think he might still be a member there, but he's not the Kings trainer anymore. And at the time, sometimes you'd go out there, and this is when like Mitch Richmond was on the team, Spud Webb, and guys like that. Byron Scott, I think, was a coach on the team, actually. And then just be out there drinking beers. And if you've ever met NBA players from like the 80s and the 90s, and this is why I think if you watch the Michael Jordan documentary, it was so sweet. Michael Jordan, just a boozer, just a drinker. And Michael Jordan's worth $1 billion, owns an NBA franchise. I mean, he's like the ultimate elitist. But he does feel like, you know, I can relate to some of that stuff. And football, like, their guys just drink beer. One of my theories why Barstool was really taken off, the main sport, the thing they went all in on, was football. And football players have resonated with their brand and become a part of it. Now, obviously, they talk about other sports, whether it's baseball, whether it's MMA, whether it's golf, whatever. But football has been their cash cow. And really, they put all their chips in the middle of the table when the Patriots got big. Gronk, Edelman, Robert Kraft, those guys became kind of a part of the brand. And they just felt like, yeah, these guys. Because in football, if anyone has ever met a dude from the NFL, and I'm not talking Tom Brady even or Aaron Rodgers, but just like the right guard or like a backup special teamer. They're just, you know, seventh round pick who went to a school that maybe you could have went to or could have gone to, right? Where, hell, I went to Cal Poly, a D1AA school. We produced dudes to the NFL. Not great players or anything, but guys got drafted. It's just a very, there's a human element to the league. In basketball, and I'm not trying to shit on the NBA, though my friends don't watch, right? I mean, just look at the people are not consuming it. the best player in the sport by a wide margin, LeBron James, who is the second best player ever, had a show, right, on HBO where they drank wine. And I'm not anti-wine. I've been wine tasting. And if I'm with a certain crowd, I'll have wine at dinner. But, like, if you think if the football players had a show, the drink of choice would be glasses of wine. But then you start thinking, well, in the NBA, the average salary is over $7 million. If you're a backup in the NBA, you can fly private. Starters in the NFL go to the airport. There is just a relatability with the sport of football on top of all their built-in advantages. We are not going to bet the NBA or baseball. We just won't. Have you ever tried to bet baseball? It stinks. I actually think a lot of baseball guys have a lot of parallels to football because it's so hard to make it in the minors. A lot of them are late-round draft picks. A lot of them go to schools that me and you go to. A lot of them, even when they're at that college or whatever, they just kind of blend in. They're not like some superstar on campus. The problem is their sport, the way society goes, and again, I like baseball, watch a lot of it. Society, though, has kind of moved away from things that 3 or 4 hours is a little slow. Where in basketball, it's like, all their guys are super rich. I say it all the time, the NBA is the greatest partnership in the history of partnerships. If you're an NBA player, you get paid a stupid amount of money, and you have zero if you're a good player, you have no liability. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles. The Nets gave him $170 million. The Warriors would have they offered him the max, $240 million. He said no. If you tear your Achilles in football, Richard Sherman's a good example. He basically got no guaranteed money from the Niners, had to earn his way. Now, he earned his way back and made a bunch of money because he was a good player, but no one was like, hey, it's Richard Sherman, he's going to the Hall of Fame, torn Achilles, here's $45 million guaranteed. It's not the way it works. And I think all these things blend into this melting pot of shows you Brady being wasted. It's like, yeah, it kind of looks like me when I go to Vegas. It just felt very relatable. Parades in football always do. Because what are they doing? They're shotgunning beers. They're taking shots. It's not a wine and cheese league. It's not a country club league. Despite these guys are millionaires. The coaches too. But there's a blue-collar feel to the sport, which I just think adds to its popularity. Okay, let's take a look at something that's getting a little weird. And I think it's fair to say anyone that knows someone who's been divorced, if you are either friends with those people, if it's you personally, if you've seen it with your parents when you were growing up or as you got older, you know that all of a sudden you don't get a call out of the blue when everyone's been holding hands, kumbaya, and deeply in love that like, me and mom are... Your best friend, it's like, I'm getting a divorce from Julie. It's not usually the way it happens. There is usually some sort of buildup. And depending on the couple, it could be years, it could be months, it could be a specific incident, but something typically happens, right? To create a potential divorce. And then things, once that issue happens, or issues, they build on each other and become bigger issues that ultimately lead to people going their separate ways. And I think we have a situation right now in Seattle that feels a little divorcey coming. And there have been some things laid out there that when the report happened on Sunday of the Super Bowl, that teams have called Seattle, that teams are interested in Russell Wilson, I said, this report, not that I don't believe it, because at the time, we hadn't heard anything. But just this is weird. Where's this coming from? And then Russell goes on this media tour, kind of insinuating that, yeah, there are some issues. I don't want to be hit. Kind of jealous of the way Brady gets to pick the players. I wish I would be more involved. And I went, damn, this guy, something weird's going on. Then I saw today, Pro Football Talk, Dan Patrick said the day after he talked to Russell, let me read the quote, that a source told him that Seattle is not happy with Russell making this public and that the current situation is not sustainable. Now listen, if I had to theorize, and I know Big J journalists get mad when you guess sources, because I've guessed sources before and they get pissed. You know the problem with that is a lot of times we just read a story, at least not anymore, but I'd say forever, and we assumed it was true. But as more and more people that have kind of been on the inside of leagues, politics, whatever, kind of get into this space, I don't even know what this space, people often like, Middlecoff, you're in the media. Am I? The last three football games I've gone to, I pay for a ticket. I don't sit, I don't write for a newspaper. I'm not here for necessarily the truth. My number one goal is to entertain and is to drive revenue so I can eat. You know, I'm not a journalist. I even get uncomfortable with the word media member. I talk, try to monetize it. You know, I'm not beholden to any company or any necessarily truth, because I don't necessarily always have the truth. I'm just giving you my opinion. And my opinion on this is that story on Sunday was Russell Wilson telling a team, tell Rap Sheet that we want out. And by doing that, say people are calling about us. And then he knows he has this media tour lined up. I don't even really know what it's for. I tried to read this GQ article. A little weird with him and his wife. Russell's kind of a weird cat. Now, he's a great player. Weird, different, little different, though. Little fake for me. He feels like a little bit too much of a politician. You know, it's just like, is this the real Russell? Is this like how he would talk to his kid or his brother or Ciara when no one's looking? I think about that sometimes with politicians. Because the thing I hate the most are frauds. Like, just be real with who you are, right? Just own it. Just be who you are. And I think so many people now are not authentic. So I always feel like when the lights turn off and they go home, do they just talk like a completely different person? I don't have the energy to do that, right? I hate being fake because I can't. I can't sustain it long enough. I don't know how people do it. Sometimes I wonder if the Russell that we hear talk, I think he's supposed to be on like Ellen on Friday. Like, is that actually Russell Wilson? Or maybe he is like this just character, sure. But in this business of the NFL, he's one of the best players at the most important position. Kind of feels like he wants out. And there are rumors years before. Remember, Colin talked about it. He wanted to go to New York. And at the time, it was like, they're not going to get rid of him. And it didn't make much sense. And I still don't believe, like, John Schneider and Pete Carroll walk into work even thinking about, like, I want to move on from Russell Wilson. But I wonder if they get to the point, like, if he doesn't really want to be here, and he's not going to come out and say it, because that's not what politicians do. They beat around the bush. They start playing the game. Well, what's the game being played right now? All these leaks. This is the LeBron playbook. Play the game. And in fairness to LeBron, never asked for a trade. Every time he's ever left, free agency. That's not really possible in football because you always got to sign these big contracts, and Russell signed one a couple years ago. But I think it's hard to think anything else that I think he kind of wants to go somewhere different. And I just wonder if you're Seattle, you know, you got this guy for a third-round pick. Both you and the head coach got long-term contract extensions. You've had a ton of success. You won a Super Bowl. You got back to another. Could this be the time to just hit reset a little bit while still winning? Make a huge trade? Hell, you could do something like, you could even do a crazy move like trade him to the Raiders and then use Derek Carr and all these picks to try to get Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I don't necessarily know the answer. It is pretty complicated. Trade him to the Jets to get the second overall pick and some other first rounders. I just wonder if for the first time in the history of the Russell Wilson era in Seattle, if John Schneider and Pete Carroll can go, hey, Pete, let's have a meeting tomorrow about lunch and just discuss some things about Russell. Should we make some active calls and just see what we can get? Now, listen, being in the business of trading Russell Wilson would never be a good business. I'm not advocating doing that. I just wonder if you're them, you're now under contract for a long period of time, you've already won a Super Bowl. If this guy wants out, now if Russell wants to be there, obviously you wouldn't trade him. But if like you start getting is this guy even want to be here? Is this guy kind of getting too big time for us? And not in the sense where like Rodgers could get mad over stuff, but I don't think he really did this. Did Rodgers get that weird until they drafted Jordan Love? My shit detector's up. My red flag's up on this one. And I just do wonder if maybe there's some meat to this. If there would just be some opportunities, trade him to New York. Maybe he wants to go to a big market. You know, he's got a famous wife. Maybe it's just run its course for Russell. It hasn't necessarily run its course for Seattle because you never get rid of a good quarterback, a great quarterback in his prime. But if the guy doesn't want to be there, like, what are you supposed to do? Because this notion that they haven't done a lot for him is complete bullshit. They always put all... We talk about fortune favors the brave. They were constantly trading picks for star players. It didn't always work out. Jimmy Graham, Percy Harvin, Jamal Adams. Like, they're constantly taking big swings. When I think of John Schneider, I think of a guy with just big cojones when it comes with trading picks for players. Doesn't mean he's always right. Because, like I said, you're not going to be when that's your mindset. If you go play golf and you go after every pin, sometimes you're going to hit it in the sand. Sometimes you're going to hit it in the water. Sometimes you're going to hit it 5 feet and have tap-in birdies. If you play to the middle of the green all the time and you're not a great putter, you're not going to get many birdies. Sometimes you got to go pin hunting. And I think Seattle, for the most part, has. Are they the perfect team? Have they missed on picks? For sure. And maybe there's a... Put myself in Russell's shoes. Do you blame him? You make a ton of money. You know you carry the team. Everyone tells you you carry the team. All of us fans and people that talk about the league, we acknowledge that. Maybe he just thinks, like, I want to go somewhere else to a bigger market. I don't know. But it's not really disputable now that something's going on, and this might get a little weirder as we get closer to free agency. Okay. Now, listen, people hate this, and they haven't been to the conference championship since Barry Switzer, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, and Troy Aikman. Pretty sure that was 1996, and they're still the biggest brand in all of football. And if you're the biggest brand in all of football, you're arguably the biggest brand in America. Even though you say whatever you want about baseball, I'd give the nod to the Yankees. We saw the ratings when the Lakers were in the championship. You can't. The Cowboys are just infinitely bigger than the Lakers in terms of you put a game on, the amount of people that watch. I'm not saying that the Lakers aren't massive. I'm not. Listen, I grew up a Kings fan, hate the Lakers, but massive brand too. When I think big brand sports, I think Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers. Like, those to me are the three stalwarts for each league. And the crazy part about the Cowboys is they've sucked. Sucked would be strong. They were competitive with Jason Garrett, but they have not, like, had a legitimate Super Bowl team. I guess we thought they did the year when Tony hurt his back, Dak took over, and then Rodgers beat him in the playoffs. I remember watching that game, actually. I think it was my old place, and thinking, God, say what you want about this rookie Dak. Remember, their defense got destroyed, but Dak was really good in that game. And I think Jerry is such a polarizing figure because a little bit like George Steinbrenner, he's kind of like this GM, but unlike George, he can't spend all of his money. He's got so much because of the salary cap, but he's actually, you look at their track record as a personnel department, they've been pretty good. And you can nitpick them on signings, and sometimes they wait too long. And I know guys in the league that think that they always wait too long to sign a guy, and then they end up paying a premium, right? It'd be the equivalent of, like, you know, I want this stock, but hopefully it goes down a little bit or doesn't go up, even though you know you're going to buy it anyway. It's at $30. You're going to end up buying it for $40, so you might as well just buy it at $30. But they always wait, and then they get in these positions where, you know, Jerry, unlike a lot of GMs, he's not numb, right? I think the best GMs historically can balance Ozzie, Belichick, what Colbert does in Pittsburgh, Schneider. They like the players that they picked, but you got to be willing to pivot or to not pay a guy. And Jerry is just usually breaks down and gives too much money to guys that I think some other teams wouldn't. And then some other guys that he should, maybe doesn't always pull the trigger. But I do think you can nitpick probably any GM in any sport. Definitely football. It's not easy. Because the other thing with football, unlike basketball, and maybe baseball too, because baseball has Tommy Johns with pitchers, but guys get injured so often in football. And you just never know. Like, a baseball pitcher who's humming along, if he's 26 years old, is probably going to be good 28, 29, right? In football, you signed Zeke. All of a sudden, 2 years later, he looks terrible. Now you can argue, Middlecoff, it's a running back, they fall off a cliff. I don't know. I thought Zeke was awesome. Then all of a sudden, now he looks slow. And Pollard looks like he's faster. Like, that happened pretty fast. You know, it did. But he took a lot of shit, I think, around the league. Not necessarily for me, because I supported it. By not giving Dak Prescott a long-term contract. And everyone's like, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing? And I went, well, Jerry had the famous line, I've never regretted paying a premium for a premium, right? If you pay a premium for another premium, you're going to be good. Whenever you cut costs, and we all do it for a bunch of stuff. I was thinking about, I went to play golf the other day, and I have a range finder, right? The thing that you aim at the pin from wherever you are, you press the button, and it tells you how far you are, 150 yards, 180 yards, 20 yards, whatever. Probably don't need it for 20 yards, but, you know, anyone that played golf that has a rangefinder, they help. But I went cheap. I have one. I got it for like $100 on Amazon. My brother has one that's like a hunting one. It gives you the slope, so if you're above the hole or below the hole, it factors that in, and it's also really powerful. Mine, you go to a course with a little fog, you can't see anything. It's a disaster. It's cheap. I went cheap, and I paid for it. And I think with quarterbacks, especially when you draft one and you hit it, right? You're always thinking, you got to pay him, you got to pay him, you got to pay him. You're seeing this with Josh Allen. You're seeing this with Lamar Jackson. And probably not Baker Mayfield, but they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. I didn't think they would halfway through the season. Then Baker turned it on. They're going to pick up his fifth-year option. But I've been thinking about this. With Lamar Jackson, why do you need to pay him right now? You like him. He changed your franchise. He's a good player. What is the rush? Let him play out his fourth year. Even Josh Allen, and you guys know me, I'm a big Josh Allen fan. He's had one great year. See if he can do it again. Then I'll pay him huge money. Now, they're probably going to pay him this offseason, but just tell me, what's the rush? To get his cap number down a little bit? What's the worst case scenario? He leads you to a Super Bowl next year, and you feel good about paying him? Like, you feel good about paying him now, but you could feel really good. What if you don't pay Lamar Jackson? What's the worst thing that could happen? He takes you to a Super Bowl, and you got to pay him huge money? Fine. Okay. Now, granted, I think the Ravens would be like, we did that before with Flacco, and it didn't work out very well. Now, Lamar, much better regular season player than Flacco ever was. But I think we're always in this huge rush. Mahomes won an MVP and then won a Super Bowl and carried his team to that Super Bowl. So it was like, okay, but isn't that the goal of this thing, to win a Super Bowl? You know, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, both those guys had a Super Bowl championship on their resume. I think we just rush to pay everybody. We saw Jared Goff losing the Super Bowl. They gave him a huge contract extension. The next 2 years, terrible. I mean, terrible would be strong, but clearly not anywhere as good as they thought he was those first 2 years. Coach, GM ended up hating him. They traded him. Carson Wentz, who had proved less than Jared Goff because he could never stay healthy, who was way more talented than Jared Goff, the reason that you felt decent about paying him, then you pay him and he gets bad and he kind of becomes a diva. Disaster. If the Eagles and the Rams had those to do over again, what would they have done? Both would have waited. But the moment they extend, and listen, I don't know anyone with the Rams, but Howie got a lot of credit. And it is the forward-thinking thing to do, right? Because you get his cap number down, you get him under contract. You're also kind of hedging against him taking another step and becoming a super-duper star. But it's a gamble. Both those teams bet on their players shooting to the moon, becoming high-end MVP-caliber players every year. They regressed. They went the other way. Immediately, their investment was a disaster. The Cowboys, who just, like I said, Jerry, polarizing figure. You say Jerry Jones. That's where I do think he has the parallels with George Steinbrenner. Like, Hal and Hank just don't move the needle. But when I was growing up, and I can't imagine what it's like if you're an older person or you're an East Coast fan, you're a Yankee fan, if you grew up and your dad was, like, George Steinbrenner was a character, a figure. Like Al Davis, you know, you just said his name and people just like, whoa, had an opinion. That's Jerry. You say Jerry and just like, you just walk around the street and you ran into a casual sports fan. You brought up Jerry Jones. They're going to have a take. They're going to have an opinion. When he didn't extend Dak, like other guys getting extended, he got a lot of shit. Well, then what happened? He got Mike McCarthy, which might be a disaster too, but that is Jerry's disaster that he signed up for. And even though Dak was killing it, they weren't winning any games. And then he gets injured. So all reports say that he's going to franchise him again at $34.5 million. Now, unlike a long-term contract, you can spread out the money so cap hits at different points in time, right? And the amount of money you pay him is different from the dead cap, is different from the cap hit. With a franchise tag, your cap hit and your dead, it's all 34.5. Your guaranteed money, every penny is guaranteed. But let's see. Like, to me, if you're Jerry Jones, in what world, unless Dak would take a massive, like, team-friendly deal, which makes no sense from his standpoint, why wouldn't you just play this thing out? Let's see what Dak looks like on $35 million with the team we have. Because if we go 6-10, you know, we can blame the coach all we want, but to me, the Cowboys have a little bit of like a UCLA football feel. Is it always the coach? Or sometimes is it the players too? Sometimes maybe it's even the organization. I don't know. I don't have the answer. But what is the rush to give Dak Prescott $130 million? Because if Jerry said he's never gone wrong paying a premium for a premium, are we sure Dak Prescott's a premium? He wasn't as a draft prospect. He's been a really good player, but even a diehard Cowboy fan or a Dak fan would say, yeah, I mean, Russell's better, Rodgers is better, he's never going to be Mahomes. Can he ever be a top, not even five, top 7-8 guy? If you believe he can be a top 7-8 guy for 5-year stretch, you pay a guy. If you have any reservations and you go, you know, I don't know, I'm not comfortable, then don't pay a guy. Because you get into disastrous situations when you pay quarterbacks you're not sure of. The Chiefs never had any reservations on Mahomes. From the draft to when they actually drafted him to when he finally played that one game at the end of his rookie year to when he became a starter to when he won the Super Bowl. They felt they were all in. The Cowboys ever truly felt all in on Dakota Prescott? He wasn't the starter when they drafted him. Hell, he wasn't even the backup. Tony got hurt. Kellen Moore got hurt. Then he had a fantastic year. But then, like, some of his yards, some of his time, and I think you see this with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a good player. He's like a $20, $25 million player. He's a good starter. He's not the reason the Raiders are losing. But is he a star? No, he's not. Is he even like a Pro Bowler? No, he's not. Is he a top, you know, I'd say somewhere between like 11 and 15. And he's good. You can win games with him. But do you ever want to go all in on him? No. It's the reason Gruden won't. I think there are elements of that with Dak. And they're definitely looking back, elements of that with Goff. Carson is kind of in his own category because he's got more talent than all those guys. But he's got his own issues. Maybe he's just not any good. Maybe he's a diva. Who knows? I just think you got to be very, very careful. Jerry deserves credit on this one. Sometimes in life, you got to let things play out. Everyone's always in a rush, like your Usain Bolt, right? Or Michael Johnson. I'll never forget that Olympics 96. And you're just trying to win the race. Who can get him signed fast enough? And you're going to see that this offseason. Let's just play it out. Like, if I'm the Browns, and listen, Browns fans, he's the best quarterback you've had in forever. But you've had shitty quarterbacks. The bar's low. Why don't just, let's play out these next couple years. Can we win a playoff game? Can we keep getting to the playoffs? Was this a one-year thing? Josh Allen, who's the most account, like, won some playoff games this year. Lamar's, right, only won one. He just won two playoff games, got to the AFC Championship. Can we do it again? Because that's the goal, right, to be in the mix every year. That's why teams never felt bad about Peyton Manning, Pete Roethlisberger, obviously Brady, even Rodgers. Like, you're always in the mix. Same with Russell. Am I always going to be in the mix? And part of that's your coach. Part of that's your general manager. There's more to football than just the one player, even though the one player is the most important and the highest paid. But I give Jerry Jones credit on this one. I give the Cowboys a lot of credit. Because you can't shit on them for having this Dak Prescott situation not resolved. Because if they would have followed the other two teams, you know, we would be saying similar things. Like, what's he going to look like coming off the injuries? Getting paid huge money. Their salary cap took a big hit. Like, they played it out year by year. They're leasing. They're renting. If they determine he's worth the buy, if he gets this season, takes him to the NFC Championship. Like I said, a place they haven't been in 25 years. Then you pay him. But if you go 8-8 again, like, I'm sorry. Adios. Okay, let's just fly around the NFL. And let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm someone who's talked a lot of shit about Urban Meyer. Never once as a coach, though. I think he's elite. I think he's Saban's equal. I think he's arguably top two or three college football coach of all time. He dominates as a coach. My issue with him was always the moral high horse stuff, getting on his soapbox, when it's like, bro, you got a team full of drug users at Florida, double homicides happening on your watch, you go to Ohio State, you got a coach who's hitting his wife. Like, let's just, and I get it's part of the college thing, but Urban stick with that stuff, getting on a soapbox, telling you how to live. Like, bro, just figure your own house out, right? Worry about your own staff and your own players. Stop preaching to the world here. And it always just made me feel very uncomfortable. Now, in the pros, you don't have to do that. You know why? No one cares. We're not teaching life lessons. We're trying to win football games, make money. That's why I love pro football. College, you're trying to do that too, but you got to incorporate some of the BS. And Urban's king at that. He's got a little political politician to him, right? He can play that game. It's like, Urban, you know, you're telling me about men of character and you got a guy killed four people while he's playing for you. Like, let's just check out the resume of some of the things that happened of the guys at Florida. Like, Google the dude, his wide receiver coach at Ohio State. I mean, we all know the deal. I don't even want to talk about it. But it's just, that to me was like the element of Urban Meyer that was always like, even beside the sick and whether he was faking it or not, and he clearly had some issues health-wise, that kind of took on a life of its own. My main issue was just always this, the kind of preaching to me when it's like, bro, I don't even believe that you believe what you're saying. But he dominated on the field. Absolutely kicked ass. And I think he's going to... Kick ass might be strong, but I'll make a prediction. I bet he wins 10 games in the first 2 years of Jacksonville. I think he's that good of a coach. But he hired Chris Doyle today, the former strength coach at Iowa, who was fired from Iowa for, you know, using racial terminology, crossing the line, having a lot of issues with players over the years. And they fired him before the season even happened. They bought him out for, like, he was making huge cash. And listen, there are two sides to every story. Everyone can say their truth. I don't know this guy. I don't even know the players that were saying the thing. But clearly the university and the stuff that was going on, they thought bad enough to remove this guy and fire him. Why would Urban Meyer, who's had issues, maybe not specifically like this, like that Chris Doyle had, but had issues that would fall under these categories of like guys he had to fire, players getting in trouble, just shit that just you'd want to avoid at all costs, bring this guy in. Of all the strength coaches you can hire, in the pros, you could go to get the... And this guy might be the best strength coach in the country. Honestly, there's a decent chance, right? Iowa consistently in the mix to win the Big Ten when they're not getting five-star recruits and they're going to war and beating teams like Wisconsin, playing with Ohio State, Michigan. It's really impressive. It really is. And I bet this guy's elite at his job, Chris Doyle. Couldn't you hire the second-best strength coach in the country? Like, why do you need to bring any of this drama on? Now, does it really matter, Jacksonville, anyone paying attention besides, like, social media? Probably not. And ultimately, does this matter? No. But I don't get it. I mean, he can't help himself. He always just brings in some sort of, like, what are you doing? You don't, like, Saban doesn't often do that, it doesn't feel like. Lincoln Riley doesn't. Bob Stoop, why is it always Urban? I don't get it, man. I really don't. There were some reports that Juju Smith-Schuster, John Clayton, remember he used to scream at Sean Salisbury on ESPN? I used to love that, cold hard facts. Love Coors Light. They used to yell at each other. He reported that the Raiders are going to be interested in Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, I don't know why the Raiders, like John Gruden, you do not need any offensive players. Sign defensive guys. They just cut Terrell Williams, who actually is an interesting free agent on the open market. He was injured. He battled some foot issues in 2019. Good player from Chargers, late round pick. Goes to the Raiders, big money. Has an up and down 2019 because of injuries. Tears his, I think, labrum this year. Missed the entire season. But he's a name to keep an eye on. Brandon Staley, I don't know who he was talking to. I saw it on Pro Football Talk. He said that he needs to get Justin Herbert in a comfort zone. the more and more I think about it, what an incredible job for Brandon Staley. In the sense of, you're at John Carroll University in 2016. 5 years later, you get the most talented roster of all the open jobs. From small little school to position coach to one-year coordinator to coaching Justin Herbert, who just had the best statistical rookie season in the history of the league. That's incredible. And he's right. They don't need to find a comfort zone for Herbert. They need to put Herbert in positions to keep doing what he's doing. Whatever worked well last year, carry that over and keep on rolling. You were gifted. Most new coaches go to places like Atlanta, where it's like they don't even want Matt Ryan. Go to Detroit, where you got to take on Jared Goff because Stafford wants that. I guess you didn't have to do that. Jacksonville is unique. They're getting Trevor Lawrence. But a lot of these jobs, right, Saleh, it's like, are we going to trade Sam Darnold? Are we going to draft a guy? There's a lot of unknown at quarterback. This guy gets Justin Herbert, who's on a rookie contract, who's already good. Like, it's an incredible opportunity for Brandon Staley and their team to be good. Orlando Brown of the Baltimore Ravens. I was watching the game. I can't remember, was it against the Steelers? Maybe the Browns? I just vividly remember being on my couch watching the Raven game, and Ronnie Stanley went down. And I think, if memory serves me correct, that Friday, might have been a week before, but I think it might have been that week, he had signed one of the biggest contracts in the history of the league for a tackle. Got like huge money guaranteed. Then, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Friday, and then Sunday, shatters his leg. Ankle broke. It was awful. I was like, oh my God. He got rolled up on. Your classic offensive lineman. Well, he's out for the year. So they take Orlando Brown, who's the right tackle, and they moved him over to left. Obviously, the Ravens had success. And he starts thinking, I don't want to move back to right tackle because the Ravens paid Ronnie Stanley all that money. He's going to be their left tackle. Orlando Brown goes, I want to be a left tackle because I'm going into my last year of my rookie contract. I want to make Ronnie Stanley money or have the opportunity to prove that I'm worth Ronnie Stanley money. Because even if I'm a dominant right tackle player, I think I saw McAfee say it the other day, you make $5 million less at the peak. So I don't blame Orlando Brown. I'd say, fuck you. I'm playing this team game, all that bullshit. Yeah, but this business. Will you let me play left tackle? Move Ronnie Stanley to right. Let me get paid. If I'm Orlando Brown, I do not back down. I'm a left tackle. Now, I'd need to text around like how good of a left tackle he is, but clearly, I mean, they function just fine. I didn't think Orlando Brown was going to be that good in the NFL, but he's actually been much better than I thought. And he has a point. If you want to get paid, remember Jimmy Graham? I want to get paid as a wide receiver, not as a tight end. He was on to something. You want to get paid as a left tackle, not a right tackle. You'd much rather get paid as a corner than a safety. There are certain things in the NFL that have huge financial implications. Someone's getting that money. Might as well be you. Trevor Lawrence, having a pro day. Now, let me just say this. Part of going to a pro day as a scout, as a GM or whatever, is not as much for a top guy about the football. Watching a guy move, throwing the ball, running, whatever the position is. A lot of it is, if you're Urban Meyer, you're going to meet him and hang out and spend some time with him. But, like you do, the football part is cool. You know, you get like to see the guy around his peers. And it's a big deal for the best player at a pro day, whatever that program is. Like if it's Alabama, you know, their best prospect is like Waddle or Smith, right? But that helps all the second, third, fourth round guys. That guy works out. It forces all the scouts to come and watch maybe a fifth, sixth, seventh undrafted free agent. So I understand participating in it. But like, is there any point for Trevor Lawrence to throw? He's going number one overall. I get Clemson means a lot to him. Go support the program. Go support your guys. You do not need to put on some clinic or whatever. You could argue, I wouldn't throw if I was him. What's the point? And I get you got to compete or whatever. We've done enough. Like, I'm going one. It's kind of stupid. You know, it really is. He does not need to participate in a pro day. Okay, and the last story, and it's an uplifter. Taylor Heinicke, who came out of nowhere, completely honest, didn't know anything about him. it shows you. Well, one, this guy was good. He threw for 300 yards in that game, couple touchdowns, was running around, looked awesome. He was a very, very enjoyable player to watch on that game against Tom Brady. A lot of people watching. You know the key in life? If you don't own the company, have the boss like you. You know who clearly likes this guy? Ron Rivera. Now, he got $8.75 million. Only $500K of it is guaranteed. I don't know about you. Like, $500K, nice little chunk of change to get guaranteed. He's going to make the team and be the backup. He should be able to bank millions of dollars. Now, he's definitely talented. And if he had thrown for 10 yards in that game and got overwhelmed and looked like shit, is he getting this contract? Of course not. So he earned it with his play in a playoff game. But, like, I think a big element of this is Ron likes the guy. They trust him. They like him in the building. And he got paid. Like, it's pretty incredible. Taylor Heinicke went from a nobody to a potential millionaire pretty quickly. Amazing what happens when you play well against Tom Brady in a playoff game. It's very, very lucrative to your bank account. Okay, let's dive into this little thing we call the Middlecoff mailbag. But before we do that, leave a review, 3&Out Podcast. Everyone that has, greatly appreciate it. Go to 3&Out Podcast, subscribe to that as well, leave a review. That is a key to podcasters' economic survival. I was part of the pump and dump. You know, I think, I don't know if I've mentioned this specific stock, Tilray, which I bought for like $6. I started buying it when it was like $5. I bought it up to like $7. I owned like $20,000 at a little under $7. And it was steadily growing just because you guys know I believe in the marijuana sector. I'm betting on weed long term. Then my Reddit people, which they're not my people, they just exist, started pumping the stock. That thing, I mean, I'm looking at my bank account going, God, this is what it probably feels like to play in the league. I'm making six figures in like 24 hours. I made it. Mama, I made it. But I was along for the ride. Like I wasn't trying to cash out because I was buying when I bought it low. Like I was thinking 5-year plan. Like it wasn't day trade. And being part of the pump and dump Reddit trader short squeeze the suits. Let me tell you, it's an incredible ride. It is an incredible ride. Because I wasn't planning on cashing out no matter what. But just you look in your bank account one day and it's going up like 300% in a 3-day stretch. And then you look and it goes all the way back the next day as it did on Thursday. I'm trying to lift today. I'm trying to do normal things throughout my day. It's hard to not look at the ticker and go, oh my God, I just lost a lot of money. But it actually wasn't, you know, unless you take it out, it's not really your money. And it was a long-term play, so I wasn't living and dying. But still, part of the roller coaster ride, what an incredible high slash low. And right now, after it had, let me bring up the ticker, Tilray was minus 49.68%. Pretty big low, let me tell you. Okay, let's get into the Middlecoff mailbag at John Middlecoff. Found your pod through Colin and been listening for a while. Appreciate it. I just had a wild thought as I was driving home from work that maybe you can answer. I have no idea on the cap implications. I think as we've learned, cap implications, they don't mean a goddamn thing. Something football people talk about a lot. It sucks to take a little bit hit, but if you want to take the hit, you can take the hit. Like, it's just that simple. I think Goff tells us it all. You can get out of Goff, you can get out of Wentz, everything's on the table. But with Russell Wilson acting like he is unhappy with Seattle, could they do a swap trade with Houston for Deshaun? If so, what would that look like? Listen, you can say what you want about Jason Lockenfora, and he's not always right. He had a pretty good idea. What if the Raiders traded for Russell Wilson? So the Raiders gave them all those first-round picks. Because Seattle, remember, they do not have ones or twos. Right, they don't have a first-round pick this year or next year because of Jamal Adams. They don't have a second-round pick. Under no circumstances would Russell Wilson agree to go to Houston. No one's going to. They just fired their president today. That place is a dumpster fire. Russell Wilson has a no-trade clause. He would not go there. But if you're Seattle, what if you do this? You trade Russell to the Raiders for, whatever, three ones and Derek. You take those three ones, and then you trade Derek, let's say, to the Bears or whatever, for like another one. Maybe you get like a one and a three. Because as we've heard, Derek Carr has a lot of value out there. And I agree, he does. Then you package all those, and you go get Deshaun Watson. Because the picks you don't have anyway, it's not that crazy. I got to give credit to Guy Haberman. He had that idea, actually. We were talking the other day. We had Kyle Juszczyk, Niner fullback, on the pod. If you want to hear him, he was great. He's cool, cool fucking dude. Rodgers seems like he lacks the secret Bill Simmons talks about in his basketball book. His eye rolls, annoyed looks, remind me of Jay Cutler. Brady seems to have the secret. I think that's fair to say. Takes less money, doesn't criticize. Teammates like Gronk, who was injured, multiple surgeries, actually go back to play with him. Amazing. Anyway, what other quarterbacks do you think know and have the secret, which equals winning? Which teams consider this in talent evaluation? Example, why would a team trade for Wentz then? Thoughts. Aloha from Mike. You in Hawaii? God, I freaking love Hawaii. Okay, let's start with Brady. Brady is the secret, right? Brady, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, I think Troy Aikman, Joe Montana. Now, whether they had it from birth, whether they were taught it, whether it was a combination of they kind of had it and they got around the right coach, whatever, it exists. I can't blame Rodgers for everything. He had Mike McCarthy, who's now proven. I don't know if we think he's that good of a coach. This year, like, did they lose because of Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. But I hear what you're saying. I just have a hard time comparing Aaron Rodgers to Jay Cutler. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a dominant player. A dominant MVP player who's actually playing well in the playoffs. Like, I have a hard time putting this year on Rodgers, but I hear what you're saying. Like, that you wish he had a little bit more. I actually think for the first time at 37 years old, it kind of felt like Rodgers had the secret this year. Getting along with his teammates, getting along with his coach, kind of bought in, and they kicked ass. They just fell up short because they ran into Tom Brady. I think Carson Wentz, that's a big reason a lot of people are probably down on him. Do you trust him? I don't. You know, how could you? I think it's hard in the evaluation process because you can be told that, like the Chiefs. They were probably told all these great things about Mahomes, and they believed it, and then they saw it on tape, but until they actually got him, then they go, we got something. And then until he actually plays, now they know. Like, Mahomes has the secret, right? If you saw the clip going viral of Chris Godwin on the sideline, just be like, how is this guy doing this? He's like doing those 360s in the Super Bowl, running for his life, making those throws. But like Russell Wilson, he's only won one Super Bowl. Does he not have the secret? You know, what? How many players in the NFL really have the secret? You know, does Brady just have all the secrets? I don't know. complicated question, but I think it's difficult. I think you never truly know until you're around someone. I think you really get to know someone when you go through tough times, when you grind with them every day. It's like I've never been married, but it's probably one thing to be dating and living together, and then another thing to like get married, have kids, right? And really expand your life. You probably learn a lot about each other as kind of life progresses. Just like, I bet Belichick and Brady learned a lot about each other, like, once they lost. Remember, they won three Super Bowls. And then when Manning finally won his, they really had their first devastating loss. Remember when Peyton had that crazy comeback in Indy against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game? You know, it's probably, to me, that's the best Peyton game ever. I know he won the Super Bowl, but remember the Super Bowl, he wasn't even that great. And then obviously in the second Super Bowl, that game to me was Peyton Manning's finest moment. I remember Marlon Jackson had the game-winning. I was such a big Colts guy because I love Peyton Manning. Had the big game-winning pick. And when I got hired in Philly, we had just signed Marlon Jackson. I was like, God, this is, I fucking made it. And he ended up tearing his Achilles in OTAs, but he had really skinny legs. That was a big play by Marlon Jackson, though. Michigan guy. Is there a realistic chance of Mahomes surpassing Brady as the GOAT? He's obviously still very young, but he needs to win at least five or six more Super Bowls to be in that conversation. I think it's kind of stupid to even have the conversation. Like, let's just enjoy Mahomes. He's a great player. He's an elite player. He's arguably the best player in the league. Brady's got 7. Mahomes to match Brady needs 6 more. 6. And on his pace, he's been to 2. He's only won 1. He's on a 50% pace. So to get 6 Super Bowls, like he's even if he made 6 more Super Bowls, he's not going to win every one. Shit, Brady's been to 10, lost 3. Even if he got to 6, maybe he'd win 3 or 4. Let's say he won 4 or 6, which would be a hell of a 4 or 6 would be great. He'd still be too shy. I think it's borderline impossible at this point. Especially when you factor in the way Mahomes plays, he gets injured. I think it's tough. When we talk about Tom Brady's greatness, how much do we factor in that his division wasn't much competitive in New England? I think you'd factor it in to go why they had home playoff games every year. But we watched him play. I watched him play Kansas City. I watched him play Peyton Manning. I watched him play Roethlisberger. I watched him play Phillip Rivers. To make it to all those Super Bowls, he had to go through all the best players and all the best teams every year. Every single year. So yeah, was it a little easier for him to rattle off some wins in the regular season? For sure. But one thing you can't argue is that that's 6 games. And let's not even talk playoffs. How many times over the 20-year span, and definitely the latter half of the decade, right? The 2010 to 2019 or 20. They were the biggest regular season game. Playing the Steelers, playing the Seattle, playing whoever, the Eagles, the Giants, whoever the best team is, the Cowboys, whoever's the good team that year in the NFC, playing the top teams in the AFC, and they were always winning. Always. They dominated, and Tom dominated in those regular season games, let alone the playoff games. So, yeah, it helps a little bit, but I think that's such a small part of the story. It's not even funny. But have a great weekend. Hopefully it's not too cold wherever you are, and see you next week. Peace!